Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Leyta Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. At the LRC, we work with people to enter and engage in recovery from addictions and behavioral health disorders through peer-to-peer interaction and evidence-based practices to promote a healthy community. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Leyta Recovery Center, which is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at leytarecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at leytarecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community about addiction and behavioral disorders and to make our community aware of the recovery resources available from the Leyta Recovery Center. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for those struggling with addiction and behavioral health disorders. And I'm going to kind of skip over the December calendar, but you can find that online at the Leyta Recovery Center website, leytarecoverycenter.org. But I do have kind of an important announcement here, and this is a press release that just came out yesterday from the Leyta Recovery Center. And as a result of the recent tragedy in our community, fear and emotions are running high. The Leyta Recovery Center is bringing our community together for community conversation, resources for Moscow's stressful times. On December 2nd, noon at the 1912 Center Le Comte Auditorium for a roundtable discussion and Q&A discussing available local resources. The event features representatives from local counseling agencies, the University of Idaho, Moscow School District, Gritman Medical Center, and the Leyta County Sheriff's Office. And they'll be discussing what services their agency can provide to those in our community experience anxiety, etc., as a result of the recent events, who their agency serves, the waiting period for services, and general safety tips. And we're hoping to be able to stream this on the Leyta Recovery Center YouTube channel for those who might not be able to make it in. And again, that's December 2nd, this Friday at noon at the 1912 Center Le Comte Auditorium. So with that, this is Radio Johnny, and thanks for listening to Recovery Radio, and here's this week's show. Today, we're kicking around a topic, and we thought, what better place to start than the beginning?
Right. And, yeah, that's always good.
We're going to talk about what in AA we call the first step, and I think in Celebrate Recovery, or CR as
first
we
step.
Refer to it.
Yeah.
First step.
So, if you're listening today, this is good, because a lot of times, you know, we get to hear the middle of something, and today you get to hear the beginning of something, so... So this is good.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like that helps. I like hearing things from the beginning. It's good.
Right. No, I totally agree. And, you know, I've heard it said many times in AA, you know, that the steps are in an order 1 through 12 for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. So, Johnny, why don't you tell us about the AA steps, AA first step.
Okay. AA first step.
Because I figured, you know the most about the AA first step, and I've learned quite a bit about the CR first step. Well, not quite a bit, some.
Right. And it's, it's pretty basic, short little sentence, and it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And, in my case, in my experience... I was absolutely powerless over alcohol. I mean, alcohol had me. I could not drink or not drink based on my own mental decision. My brain had become hardwired to believe that alcohol was the most important thing, more important than work, than family, than being honest, more important than anything. So I was indeed powerless over alcohol. I had lost the capacity to make a decision whether to drink or not to drink. Mm-hmm. I just had to drink. And the unmanageability, I mean, had manifested itself in a dozen different ways. Wasn't paying my bills on time. Well, luckily my wife was paying our bills on time, mm-hmm. but I'd given up the capacity to
be a part of that.
Process. Yeah. I would promise people I would be somewhere at a certain time and not show up because I got drunk and forgot about it, or got drunk and decided it wasn't important, or they don't really need me. You know, a million forms of denial and self-delusion. So even though no one wants to think that, I was a functioning alcoholic. I mean, I was getting up and going to work right up until within just a month or two of finally stopping drinking. You know, I would get up, I would go to work. I put in my 8 hours and, go home. And, all that while drinking, until finally the last guy that gave me a good break said, nah, I can't have you here drunk. I mean, whatever you need to do, go and do it. But, I can't have you here.
But it's not
going
to happen here. Yeah.
You know, and I work for myself, and even those clients that I had, doing handyman work, even they stopped calling. Because they were all just like concerned how liable am I going to be for this idiot's behavior.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, manageability, my life was absolutely unmanageable. I fit both of those. And when I finally did stop drinking and I went to AAA and I saw this first step, people say, well, the first step is you put the, plug in the jug. Not necessarily so. Sometimes you have to, get to that, your innermost self and say, yeah, I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable. You have to make that admission to that, your innermost self and just say, that's it. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, that will give you the impetus to put the plug in the jug. Although I've known people, I've known people that have continued drinking once they came into AA, and once they got to a certain step, something clicked and they were able to stop. Now, I always suggested that those people go back and start the steps over again, coming to the realization and making a decision doesn't mean you take the action. So, but that's
right.
That's
yeah. And what, yeah.
There.
I mean, if you're sober yet or not, I mean, sometimes sometimes you're in a situation like I was, where, my addiction, winded up, that situation winded up changing because I was arrested for a warrant that had to do with driving stuff. I think it was no insurance. Because again, you become super irresponsible with your finances.
Why?
And court dates. I mean, like, who's going to go to one of those? So,
yeah.
And I say this very sarcastically. Like, of course you go to your court dates.
Very deep in the cheek. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Don't miss those. That's bad news. Anyway, so of course that eventually led to my arrest. I wasn't really arrested, quote, for... I think I did catch another charge that actually was drug related, but that was the original reason. Anyways, it's all a haze from back then. But my point being that, I didn't step into NAAA doors to come across the first step. I was arrested and spent, about a month in jail, started to, think about some things and evaluate stuff. And I was offered the drug court program. And while I was in Latah here, I also had the recovery Bible that I've got to just say this now, because I found out recently that I've now since found, Sherry Hall and Mike Hall put those into Latah County from Celebrate Recovery. They, donate those. And so that's pretty amazing. I told her I was glad to know who, made that possible for me. And now I, volunteer for her. So anyway, so that's kind of cool, right? You know, I mean, I just remember thinking, wow. And I was sitting in the library and I looked and there's just these boxes and boxes of them and they're up, you know, on these shelves. And I'm like, wow, that's just really cool. Isn't that really neat? You know, somebody donated these, brought them in. Anyway, so point being that I was reading through the NA book, and it's when I realized that I was an addict. Now, I realize that may sound pretty funny or strange, but I did not know that I was an addict until I read that. So,
It's not, you know.
Everybody else might have been, but I wasn't.
I mean, I think I realized at some point that, you know, I knew I drank alcoholically, but I don't think I was really tuned in to what an alcoholic was, what that really meant to me. So I get it, you know. I may have even said, I'm an alcoholic, that's why I drink like this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really realize that it meant, not only am I physically and psychologically addicted to this, I have lost all capacity for choice,
right and that's
really, I think, what defines the addict or alcoholic is, mm-hmm. when you lose that ability or lose choice, mm-hmm. lose the ability to make, mm-hmm. a choice.
So I mean, you know, and then when I started in the NA stuff, I mean, I kind of struggled, let's be honest, early on to try to understand the steps back then. That was about 5.5 years ago. It was kind of just because I was new into everything. I would say, though, along with going to NA, which I really honestly think the thing I benefited the most from going to the meetings was listening to other people, to listen to their stories, listen to what they went through, and then help understand myself better, because there was these relatable things going on. It made all the difference for me. And then the bookwork part, basically, I mean, I did all that at Weeks in Vitri and did my growth in that area there. But boy, just to be able to fellowship and hear the stories and share at NA, that was very valuable for me. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what, you know, when we talk about, I think in CR, they talk about the first step deals, mm-hmm. with denial.
Yeah. I wanted to read a little bit.
Yeah.
To kind of explain it.
Do that, please.
Okay. So denial. Principle one, realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life has become unmanageable. And then the scripture is, happy are those who are spiritually poor, Matthew 5:3. And then step one, because there's principles and there's steps, and I just want to clarify that the principles are the 8 principles based on the Beatitudes. And these are steps to healing. So in the Bible, there was a Sermon on the Mount, and it was Jesus speaking to people, and that's where they get the Beatitudes. So I hope I explained that okay. But anyways, so.
You did fine.
Thanks. So step one, we admit we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives have become unmanageable. Oh, yeah, I guess that really does fit with what. Well, it's called denial. The lesson one is called denial. Anyways.
But it works.
So basically it says, think about, before we can take the first step to our recovery, we must first face and admit our denial. And so there's an acrostic for that. But first I want to read. God tells us you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. The acrostic for denial spells out what can happen if we do not face our denial. It disables our feelings. Secondly, energy loss, and I'm just going to read the subtitles, negates growth, isolates us from God, alienates our relationships, lengthens pain. So in the CR step study, which actually there's going to be a new step study starting in September, our books are broken down into, there's like 4 books and they're broken down into lessons. So the one on denial, like the first questions, for instance, is what areas in your life do you have power or control over? So you name off, what do you have power and control over? And then the second question is, what areas in your life are out of control and unmanageable? Be specific. So, you know, you get some time to kind of think about that. I wanted to add, though, with this, that I know our main focus usually is about drugs and alcohol, but I also wanted to talk about another part of it, too. So for people who are in recovery, eventually you start to kind of realize that there's a lot of other stuff going on. You stop doing the drugs, the alcohol, you're in recovery, but there's other issues that need to be addressed. So in thinking about that, I wanted to share some of the ones that I had thought of. So some people will come into CR, which is Hurts, Habits, and Hangups. Some of them realize, hey, you know what? I got an eating problem. Like, I drowned my feelings and emotions with food. Or I've been in an abusive situation and I need some healing from that. And I need some support. Trying to think of some other ones. Hurts, Habits, Hangups. You know, the way that I behave and interact with my family, I need to do that differently. You know, that's one of mine. I've realized, you know, okay, I have to stop denying that part of it. Like, you know, you can blame other people for how they react to things, but really what I have power and control over is how I react to things. So what do I need to do to do that better? So, for instance, me owning that I've been denying that up and so admitting it and then taking the steps to then change that and work on it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, a denial is not a river in Egypt. That's an old AA thing.
Yeah.
Denial for me, you know, manifested itself in many different forms. One, that I didn't drink abhorrently, although, you know, most normal healthy people don't start their day off with 8 ounces of hard liquor, you know, to keep from going into withdrawals, you know, vomiting, twitching, spasms, you know, that sort of thing. And I know the folks out there in the audience listening right now is like, how could you not know you have a problem?
See, this is the part where we talk about addiction hijacks your brain.
Yeah, you're chugging down a half pint of booze, you know, first thing in the morning. I mean, literally first thing, usually before I got out of bed, you know, but the denial was so strong in my mind that, you know, this is okay. I mean, I hadn't even resolved to I knew if I didn't do it, I would get sick.
So that's kind of the thing. I mean, I feel like your body is saying, okay, this is what we need to do now or we're going to get sick. I mean, it's a survival thing along with all the changes that happen in your brain and, you know, all that fancy stuff that they totally know about now that explains why.
Well, they know a lot more about now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I understand it. Explaining it might be a little harder.
But, you know, there are other forms of denial, you know, and probably the most common one and part of what you're touching on there when you're talking about family and friends is, you know, how many times have I heard this? I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Why is everybody on my back? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, every time I got in my truck,
you're endangering the community.
Time, yeah, it was everybody's problem.
Yeah.
You know, all those times I promised, yeah, I'll come over here and help you paint the fence and not show up. Mm-hmm. You know, worrying my family to death. I mean, it never occurred to me that they would be worried about it. And if they did, hey, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, you know, just denying, you'll really get to a point where you have to deny all of that reality to enable you to keep going. Because if you let truth in at that point,
it's going to mess up your whole game you got going.
It ruins your gig. Yeah. I relapsed probably after about 3 months coming into AA the first time. And it was because my body was healing. I was feeling better. I was thinking more clearly. And I hadn't worked the steps. I didn't have a sponsor. I was just going to meetings. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe I can, you know, drink like a normal person. Because I read in the book somewhere, you know, if somebody can turn around and, you know, drink like a gentleman, then, you know, our hats are off to them. You know, maybe you're not really an alcoholic like I am.
Yeah, because some people come in to kind of check it out because they're not sure.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We've had guests on here that have said that, and it's true. But, you know, within less than 3 days, I was back drinking just exactly the way I had been. So I had to go through that withdrawal thing again, which
that's not fun.
I do not recommend doing what I did, which was sitting in an easy chair with a half gallon of water there and, you know, a carton of cigarettes, chain smoking, and, you know, just, you know, and throwing up and
smoking.
All the other bodily functions that go haywire.
There's one.
So, yeah, so it's, you know, even after, you know, the initial elimination of the drug or the alcohol, and I only separate them for the sense of conversation, they're both drugs, or they're all drugs. It was just a thing. You know, I'll just have a drink. No, it sucked me right back in. And, you know, we talked about that, I think, a little bit last week about how it takes some time for those neurotransmitters, the pathways that get established when you're addicted, to, you know, heal up and go back to where it's like, oh, the first thing you should do in the morning is eat some Cheerios and not have an argument in your mind on which goes best on Cheerios, red wine or white wine. You never did that?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not an alcoholic. the thought of drinking in the morning, I remember we used to go camping with some people that like to drink, and maybe some of them are alcoholics, and they would drink in the morning, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, that never, ever seemed appealing. I think there was a couple of times where there were those tomato juice things.
Oh, Bloody Mary, sure.
Yeah, that was okay.
Traditional
maybe a couple of times.
Breakfast drink, yeah.
I mean, but, yeah, no, I don't. I'm not a drinker. I wanted to just touch on a couple things. I know we got to take a break for a second. Let's see if I can do this in the right. I really need to maybe think on this ahead of time. But so one of the things that I was talking about, disabling our feelings. By repressing our feelings, we freeze our emotions. Understanding and feelings. Out our feelings is freedom. I think we need to take a break because I just got tongue twisted because it is. It's like feelings in, says it three times in one sentence, but I was trying to share a little bit more on what it says to think about to help people think about even if you're not, you know, an addict or an alcoholic, what are other things that might be impeding in your life, causing problems?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, you talk to a lot of alcoholics and they'll say, well, you know, my life is, you know, you drink like me too, if your life was as screwed up as mine. And, you know, in some cases, you know, that can lead you towards wanting to escape just a bad situation, you know, a long-term illness, death of a loved one, a big move, pressure at work. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that can drive the potential alcoholic or addict, you know, to that point where I need to escape. And I mean, a lot, and most people do. I mean, people drink because they like the feeling they get from
and escapism, it. I mean, whatever that looks like, whatever thing, if it's shopping or drinking or whatever it is, I mean, it's there for a reason. So it's almost like you got to jump back from what you're doing to escape and like think about what really is going on. Why am I doing these things?
Right.
So I guess that's part of the point I was trying to make, thinking about why. You know, what's really going on.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times, like I said, we get into recovery, we stop drinking, we stop using drugs or whatever, but there's still stuff to work out. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while we cross our fingers and get our minds back.
Right. I was going to say, I think I need a break.
Where we want to go. We'll take a little break, listen to some Steppenwolf, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to KRFP in Moscow Pullman.
So much for you, and though you're trained to make
And we are back on Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3, Moscow Pullman, the coolest station in the nation, or at least within the sound of my voice at this moment. And today we're talking about, well, it's kind of first step stuff for AA and Celebrate Recovery, but once you admit that you're powerless over alcohol or drugs or other people or
porn
a
shopping
habit,
or eating
a, yeah eating habit of
I don't know maybe being codependent
weight,
yeah
codependence
anger
anything mm-hmm. that you make a priority in your life to the detriment of
others
the rest
yourself,
of your
yeah.
life yeah,
yeah. We have a lot of people in there for like anger and codependency and yeah.
Oh yeah. No, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is where, this is where you kind of get the lead over me on it because I'm lucky. I just get to deal with people with alcoholic problems because mm-hmm. that was the base of my problem. Not that I haven't had a mm-hmm. lot of those other ones. I came close to tripping over the edge with gambling.
Oh yeah, that's a total second one people will go to when they get cleaned up.
When
yeah.
I go to into a store, I go directly for the shiny stuff, mm-hmm. So, oh, look, a 82-inch mm-hmm. television. I don't think there's
so
a wall that big in my house that
it's
I could
so
put
pretty.
It on, but I'd love to have
right?
it.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's part of being American.
So yeah, it's it's not necessarily, admitting I'm powerless over alcohol, but it could be I'm powerless over, any one of the, mm-hmm. those several
those things
that we just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting angry. Like, you just fly off the handle or, so that's kind of what, we wanted to share was just looking at those things and we wanted to help explain the first step and stuff like that. Get you thinking. And I also wanted to ask you, Johnny, so if somebody wants to check out AA mm-hmm. and, see what it's about or, maybe do a you guys call it step study too, right?
Right, right. Yeah. We have step studies.
Yep. Do a step study with a sponsor. What does that look like? And how does somebody take the first step to do that?
Well, the simplest, easiest way is, right. Very close to the beginning of the phone book, if anyone uses a phone book, or you can get
on
the
web. Yeah, no one uses a phone book.
just Google Alcoholics Anonymous or even just AA.
Yeah.
And, there's hotlines. There's an 800 number in this area, which I don't have right in front of me.
Yeah, that's good.
You can call. And you can find out where a meeting is. Latar Recovery Center. Mm-hmm. Every day at noon, Monday through Sunday. You can go in there. There's people who have got some time in sobriety, and they can take you by the hand and walk you through. What does an AA meeting look like? And
so pretty much just I hear you saying you can just walk into one of those doors and just say, "Hey, I'm thinking about."
Yeah,
like
I'm
a meeting or a step study.
Yeah,
that's it. And
I'm thinking maybe I have a problem with alcohol. Or even there's basically two types of meetings in AA. They call them open or closed meetings. A closed meeting is primarily for people who have a problem with alcohol and want to know how to stop drinking, have a desire to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. That means you have already stopped.
Right.
You may just have a desire to. Mm-hmm. So don't let being buzzed keep you out, mm-hmm. Because
right.
you're going to hear something that screws up your drinking anyway. So,
right.
And then there's also what they call open meetings, where anybody really can attend. If mm-hmm. you don't have a problem with alcohol, typically you can go in as an observer, basically mm-hmm. non-participating.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after the meeting, talk to members, have them... Mm-hmm. ask your questions then. So mm-hmm. you can do it that way. You want to, there are different groups that do step studies or book mm-hmm. studies. Really, I think the best way for most folks, if you want to get sober and you want to give the program of Alcoholics Anonymous a try, ask somebody to sponsor you. Typically, men will sponsor women women sponsor, or men,
most sponsor men.
Sponsor men, women most sponsor women. Women. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain what a sponsor is. Sponsor, you know, typically it's like people, when you say sponsor, it's like, oh, where it's like when you go into the Moose Lodge or the Elks or something, mm-hmm. you have to have somebody, you know, speak for you to become mm-hmm. a member. That's not really
what it's a different kind of sponsor.
Is.
Yeah.
A sponsor in the AA context is really more of a guide, mm-hmm. A mentor, somebody to help you mm-hmm. understand the book and the steps and how to go through them and to help you go through them.
Yeah, and you can talk about, yeah.
Right, right.
About what's going on, and you do your steps with them and talk about the answers and where you are with things. And
right, exactly.
I think they share a bit as well as appropriate. You know, they share.
Oh, yeah.
As
yeah.
you're going
no,
along.
No, I, yeah. It's not unusual. Sponsorship is really important too, because it gives you a bank of knowledge, really. I've had sponsees come to me and ask me about, you know, well, I'm in this situation and I'm not sure what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at them like a deer in the headlights and go, you know, I've never been in that situation and nothing is coming to me right away mm-hmm. That I can relate to. Let's call my sponsor. And we have called my sponsor. And in this one particular time, he was scratching his head going, I don't know. We ended up going back like three generations of sponsors
yeah. Yeah.
before we found somebody
yeah.
who had yeah. been in a situation like that and was able to give that person an idea of what the next right thing to do was.
And it's kind of cool. I was just thinking just now, it's kind of cool because it's not like you're a sponsor and you have just all the answers in the world about everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, God,
yeah.
save the sponsor.
Yeah,
on
don't put too much pressure on yourself. Yeah, it's definitely not like that. So
right, no, but a sponsor is just a person who's going to, like you say all the time, hold your hand and walk through it with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm a new sponsor, so I thought that was good for me to point it out in
yeah.
my head. I'm not perfect. Perfect.
I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. That's
definitely
right.
not, and I can call upon other people. And I actually have. I mean, I've only been a sponsor for a few months, and I've reached out to, you know, the lady that helps me. And, yeah, I've asked some good questions to help the
right.
situation that I'm, you know, a part of.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
helping.
Yeah.
Or mentoring.
When I start thinking I know everything, I'm basically setting myself up for my next drink.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah. I know that. I'm yeah. aware of that. So yeah.
So then I was going
to
share real quick. Was there anything else like for AA stuff that you can think of?
No, pretty much that's it. You know, go online. Pick up a newspaper mm-hmm. if you run
yeah.
across one of those.
Yeah.
It'll have meetings and schedules. And, you know, there's a meeting every night between Moscow and Pullman as
there
well.
Is. Yeah.
So there's several meetings a day. And you know what? If you go in one and you don't feel like introducing yourself, you don't have to. If you don't look familiar, you know, a lot of the people that go to AA around here go to a lot of meetings, and we're pretty much familiar with who the regulars are, and when we see a new person come in
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll seek you out after the meeting.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah,
and just say
friendly.
Hey, you know, welcome, what's up, you know, what's your deal.
Yeah, this doesn't mean tackle you, this just means someone will walk up and say hello and introduce themselves.
That's
and
right.
you know
you may
don't be afraid.
You may literally find yourself right. surrounded, but that's only because there's a lot of people there that
yeah.
want to share the love. They really
I
do.
I guess I was never really surrounded, although that would have been okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to share real quick that, well, of course, you can go to Laetal Recovery Center, and they have lots of different types of meetings that you could check out, ask questions about. So that's always a really good resource. And then also Celebrate Recovery is at Real Life Church on Fridays. There's an open group where it's men and women, and we sit together, and someone teaches a lesson that's on the leadership team. And it's pretty cool. Goes through 25 lessons in the series and just kind of keeps rotating back through. And
right.
then if you're women, you go join in the women's group. So there's two different settings that you can go into. One is just like a group where you just go in, you don't, you can just go whenever you want. The step study, you need to join in a certain amount of time because it becomes closed after it's been going for like 4 weeks. But the first one that I was talking to, like the open group for women, basically you're just discussing your week or sharing maybe why you're there. Super safe environment. Anything that's said in there stays in there. We go through lots of simple, understandable guidelines to keep that meeting safe so that you feel comfortable. And then the step study goes through the steps, and it usually takes about 6 months to do that. And you are in a group of women, and the size really can vary. You know, it can be from 3 to maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9, I guess. I haven't checked to see what the largest group has been that they'll try to do. Sometimes they start a group and they break into two groups, like if there's like 16 or something. There's going to be a new one that's going to start in September. I don't have the date for that just yet, but it will be coming up as in September. So basically, to just check out Celebrate Recovery, you just show up, walk in, have some coffee, you know, sit in. You
don't have real-life churches out there at the
Eastside Marketplace.
Eastside Marketplace down.
Right between like Safeway basically and the Dollar Tree. It's right next to the Dollar Tree.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to say why you're there. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. If you decide to stay for the open group, men's or women's, and you don't want to talk, you can just say your name and say, I pass, and that's it. It's no big deal, you know.
And I'm guessing the big difference between the going through the steps in CR versus going through the steps in AA is AA, we do have book studies where we read from the basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book, they call it, the blue book.
Guess how it works.
There's other approved literature, too. There's one called The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Mm-hmm. And in the groups that we have, it'd be just a typical meeting environment, but usually we go around and read, you know, a step.
Right.
And, you know, if you come in the third month, probably going to be on the third step or the third tradition. It just depends on how quickly they get through it. It's more of a read and then comment, you know, people comment on it, where our sponsorship or actually working through the steps is a one-on-one thing, typically one-on-one
thing. Right, yeah, and that's different because ours is like a small group. Although you meet with your sponsor like once a week or when you want to, as you're going through the step study.
But you also do the work class, group style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
And that sounds great to me.
Yeah, because then you're kind of getting to listen to what other people, what they're going through kind of a thing. And that's why I was saying it's super important. We have really good, safe guidelines to keep everyone's privacy, anonymity, all that kind of stuff. So that everything that's spoken about stays in that room, you know. And then your sponsor, like me, as far as like a couple people that I'm helping out with, they are doing their step study. They just kind of touch base with me when they need to. I see how they're doing.
Right.
When we get ready to do inventory, which is like now-ish, then it's going to be, we'll probably spend a little more time together.
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, again, we go back to really the difference between Celebrate Recovery and AA, where AA is laser beam focused on alcoholism and recovery from alcoholism, where CR hurts hang-ups.
Hurts habits, hang-ups. Yeah, so it can be.
So there,
it's a broader range. Yes.
It's a broader range. So I can understand how a group setting might be better for that, because you might touch on something. Mm-hmm. You might say, yeah, you know, I'm having this problem with my husband. You know, he doesn't call me when he, you know, he says he's going to be home, and then he gets involved in something and doesn't call, and it ticks my grit. And I'm going, oh yeah, you know what? That's something that really, you know, bugs me too when somebody doesn't call. So I can see how it could be beneficial to also jog people's mind about
it. Can,
you know, things
although
like
I
that.
Will say it's interesting because typically that's how I would think things would go. So basically, though, when you come into the groups and you are in the open group, you know, women's, and I don't know that that's really the right word for it, but the group that you could just attend at any time, or the step study, we're actually not there to give advice or fix anybody. So we don't comment on what other people say.
Right.
People will talk or do their, you know, their thing. And we can afterwards, so afterwards, you know, we have snacks and stuff like that out in the lobby or the foyer area. And you can go and ask one of your small group members, hey, so I was wondering what you think about this or that, or can you recommend anything for this or that?
Right.
Because since we're not licensed counselors or therapists,
right,
we're not supposed to, quote, fix or give any, like, advice stuff. And
right,
the idea is that the Holy Spirit will work as we're speaking, you know,
right,
and help, you know, help us with things. And then that's what the lessons are for.
And in AA, there's a similar thing. We call it crosstalk. You know, you don't want to
crosstalk.
You don't want to say, well, you should do this.
Right, exactly. No shoulds.
But I will say, you know, it's interesting you talk about that. This has been my experience.
Yeah, and seeing that can happen.
This is what I did.
Yeah.
And usually it comes back to the basic. Okay, well, Joe says, yeah, I keep cheating my boss out of time at work. You know, I take long breaks and long lunches, and you know, I don't know why I do it. I might throw it out and just say, you know,
a relatable situation.
My experience was I would do something like that as well. And what it took to get me over that was just realizing that, you know, I wasn't just taking time from them. I'm taking money out of their pocket. And reason I did that was because of my selfishness, self-centered, whatever,
right,
down the line.
Yeah. And then you could talk about how, like, you learned how to utilize your time better.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or found another job.
Right. That didn't care if you just,
right,
you know, did whatever you wanted. I'm sorry. We're a little silly here sometimes on Recovery Radio. We just kind of banter back and forth. We can't help it. It's part of our personality, I think. And we hope you enjoy it. If you don't, I'm sorry.
We do.
Sometimes we try to be serious, you know, and like stick to a regimen of scheduled things, you know, like all dun, 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 like maybe like the news person would, or
a
talk show of that sort. But I think we're kind of organic in that sense, right? Would that be the right word? Organic?
Yeah, we are a little more organic here. And it's not like we take this stuff lightly in the long run anyway, because for us, it's life or death.
Yeah.
If I go out and drink today, I'll be dead in a week.
You know, and I think that's part of it. We're just real in the sense of it is important, you know, so we say what's on our mind. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's about time to wrap up. And thank you, Denise, for
thank you, Johnny,
being your awesomeness.